I wanted to talk to you about something that I kind of mentioned earlier this year. I believe it was, let me see, I wrote it down here, May 7th. Some of you may remember I had a five-minute sermon with a longer sermon following. And I want to go back to that, and I want us to think together a little bit. So turn to Matthew chapter 24. And while you're turning to Matthew chapter 24, I just thought I'd read some funnies to you. Okay, these are retirement-related jokes, so some of you will laugh harder than others. Retirement to-do list. Wake up. Nailed it! I don't have gray hair. I have wisdom highlights. I don't have those anymore. It's all gone now. I don't trip. I do random gravity checks. One more. These have nothing to do with anything. It was just giving you time to get to Matthew chapter 24. One minute you're young and fun. The next you're turning down the car stereo to see better. I don't even know if I understand that, but okay. Oh, okay, somebody does. Okay. That was relatable to somebody.
When you're trying to find a turn, you turn the radio down so you can concentrate.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway. He explained it to me, and he's only, what, 30 what? Don't want to talk about it. Okay. So Matthew chapter 24, we're going to look at the latter half of Matthew 24 mostly. Look at verse 32. And again, this message is entitled, Here We Go Again, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 32. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, everybody say day or hour?
Day or hour.
No one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Have you ever heard anyone say, we won't know the day or the hour, but we'll know the times and the seasons? I remember people saying that when I was a young man. You have to remember that I was a Jesus freak. I was among the Jesus people. We were pretty wild and crazy, and we were pretty much ready for the return of Jesus. Like, that's most of what we talked about. We talked about it a lot. It was really a big focus of our lives. And we had movies and books. We had lots of movies and lots of books. Has anyone here heard of the movie A Thief in the Night? Yeah, 1972. Came out the year after I got saved. And it was a big deal. It was a big deal right in the middle of the Jesus movement, and all the Jesus people were like dragging people off to see that movie, and it got shown in almost every church in the country, I think. It was really a popular movie. And do any of you remember a book called The Late Great Planet Earth? Yep, Hal Lindsey, 1970. So, this was on our minds a lot, and we were constantly talking about the signs of the second coming, and we were focused on some other verses, like reading a little bit further down, verse 42 of Matthew. Therefore, keep watch. Everybody say, keep watch. Because you do not know on what day our Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have left his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Now here's the thing. That keep watch was a big deal to the Jesus people. It's a big deal to me in my younger days. Keeping watch, keeping my eyes on, watching for the signs. But there was another part of that verse that I just read that I didn't have you repeat, that we paid less attention to. In the passage that I just read, the section that I just read, it said, the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Was Jesus talking to heathens? Nope. He was talking to people who followed him and who loved him. And he said, the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. What? Are we supposed to keep watch? And then even if we do, we're going to be surprised anyway? Is that the way this works? We're told to keep watch, but if you do, you're still going to be surprised, no matter how carefully you watch. Sounds like a contradiction, but it's not, actually. See, the problem is perhaps what we think is supposed to be watched. Because we've read this passage over and over and over, and we think he's saying, watch the signs, watch the signs, watch the signs. But then he gives us a little parable right there, and he says, if you knew what time the thief was coming, is that watching the signs or is that watching your responsibility, which is the house? What's my responsibility? To watch and not let the house be broken into. We will see these things that he talks about. We will see indicators that God is up to something. I'm sure of that. Those of us who listen to the voice of the Spirit should be hearing things from the Spirit specific to us that will kind of let us in on what God's up to. But what are we supposed to focus on? And what does he want us to watch? Let's read on, verse 45. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant. This is what I was quoting back in May. It will be good for that servant whose master finds him so doing when he returns. What's that servant doing? Fulfilling his responsibilities. He's got his focus on the right thing. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions because he's focused on the right thing. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time, and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and to drink with drunkards. So the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and in an hour that he is not aware of. What? Again? Surprise! And he will cut him into pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We're his servants, right? We're his servants, right? Yes. Yeah. We're his servants. We're his children, too. And we're his friends, too. Sometimes we're so focused on being friends and children that we forget that we have responsibilities. Based on our abilities, we are supposed to respond. We Jesus people, we're often focused on the signs, and maybe a little too much so, on watching the signs instead of watching our responsibilities. Now, I will say that the idea that Jesus might come back any moment did drive some of us a little bit harder to reach out to the lost. And that's not a bad thing, because there are a lot of people that are lost. Have you noticed in the last few days, in the last couple of years, resurgence in the speculation that now might be the time for Christ's return? Have you noticed it? I have. Now might be the time. And I felt that very much in 1970 whatever. And I felt it even more in the 1980 whatevers. There were 88 reasons why Jesus was going to come back in 1988. And the guy sold 5 million copies of that book. And then when it didn't work out, he made 89 reasons. Instead of 88 reasons, he went to 89 reasons why I was mistaken the first time, and he published another book, which sold some copies, and then I believe he also went for 92 and 94, or 92 and 95, something like that. He did follow-ups, and they weren't working out. How many of you would be careful how you answer this, because I'm about to, this is a trick question, so just don't answer. Just don't say anything. How many of you would be excited to have Jesus come back right now? Oh, yeah. That's right. We want Jesus to come back. To hell with all those people who are going to hell. Sometimes we Jesus freaks were a little bit like that. I'm not saying that Paul didn't say, "Maranatha, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." But I want Jesus to come quickly, but there are a whole lot of people who wouldn't be ready if he came. And I have people that I love that I want them to finish getting ready, to get in. I want them to be aware of who God is. And I want to keep watch over what my responsibilities are. Because if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing when he comes back, guess what? You're not going up there any faster than me just because you have good charts. You won't accelerate to heaven because you got it all figured out. And in fact, if you think you got it all figured out, you got problems. We had a lot of people back then who just wanted to escape. They were just ready to escape. And then we had the escape spoilers, by the way. I remember being a pre-tribulationalist, you know, because that was the only thing that I'd ever been taught. Now I'm pan-tribulationist. You've heard me say that. It'll all pan out. But I remember when they started to figure out, you know, well, maybe it's a mid-trib or a post-trib or whatever. You know, they had all these other things. And the post-trib people were really Debbie Downers because, you know, we wanted to get out of here. We want to get out of here before anything bad happens. We want to get out of here. Maybe you know someone today who's all about getting out of here. They just want to get out of here. I'm ready when he says it's time, and I won't second guess his timing on it at all. But I'm also ready to stay, and even anxious to stay, because I know too many people who don't know Jesus. I know too many. But I'm sure that no one's thinking like we Jesus freaks did back then. You don't know anybody who's all about getting out of here, do you? You don't know anybody who just wants out of here and they don't really care what happens. They just want to just get, just come, Jesus, take me home. Yeah, sure. So here's what I see in this passage. I see Jesus telling us a lot about what the end looks like, but I also see him wrapping up everything with a challenge. And what is the challenge? The challenge is to stay focused, to watch. And what are we supposed to focus on? What he gave us to do. And maybe the most important thing to watch is ourselves. Watch yourself that you don't miss the whole point of what you're here for. Because if he hasn't taken you home yet, he's not done with you yet. And I've told you, I think he's going to let me live to be 180 because it's going to take that long to get done with me. He's going to be like, oh man, 90. He's halfway there. Oh. No, got a lot of work to do on me. Not only will the hour and the day come at a time when we don't expect, remember, his words, not mine. But we are actually told that we will not know the times or the seasons. And again, I heard preachers say, we won't know the day or the hour. We won't know the times or the seasons because, you know, when the branch puts forth and blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, okay. So go with me to the book of Acts if you want, or I'll just read it to you. Acts chapter 1. Jesus is about to be ascended into heaven. And something important is being said by Jesus. How many of you think Jesus might just say something important as the last thing that he says before he goes into heaven? He wants to leave a final impression on his disciples, on his children, on his followers. Verse 6, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They were talking about the end of all things. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Hello? It is not for you to know the times or the seasons or the day or the hour. I'm just adding from Matthew to what which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I want that Holy Spirit thing. Forget about the other. Let's focus on getting closer to the Holy Spirit. Let's get the Holy Spirit moving in our lives. Let's just start seeing us bring on earth as it is in heaven, because the Holy Spirit's flowing through us and touching people's lives. Does that make sense to anybody but me? Come on. And you shall be witnesses. Everybody say witnesses. Witnesses. That's why we have testimonies all the time here, because we're having witness practice. We're getting people to talk about the good things that God's doing in their lives. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Verse 9, now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. While he was saying these things that he was just saying, he was saying, get that Holy Spirit thing. Don't worry about the times and the seasons. Jesus said, don't worry about the times of the seasons. They said, what? He said, none ya. It's none ya business. He even said, I don't know. I don't know. This is the Father's deal. So there are two words, like I said here, times and seasons, and they have interesting roots in the Greek language. The word times is the word chronos. It's the word from which we get chronology. It's the orderly progression of events. So not only will we not know the day or the hour, but we won't even know the order of events. Let me say it again. We will not know the order of events. No matter how many books we write, no matter how many movies we make. Sorry. I've seen preachers with charts that run from one end of the platform to the other on a bigger platform than we've got. Big letters all over, and they were explaining exactly how it's going to take place, except that they don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't say it. So all those books and movies speculating on how the last years will unfold are, my baloney has a first name. It's O-S-E-A-R. I'm sorry. They just do. Listen, I've read probably more end time books than you guys have. I've seen more end time movies maybe than some of you have. I was really into it as a young kid, because this was just what we thought was going to happen. We really didn't think we'd make it out of the 70s, and we were sure we wouldn't make it out of the 80s. And when the 90s came, it was like, what's up with that? And then more movies got made in the 90s. Can any of you think of any movies made in the 90s? Don't yell them out. It's okay. Whole series of movies. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm not the one who called it baloney. Jesus didn't use the term baloney, but I'm sure had he been familiar with Oscar Mayer, he would have wholeheartedly supported that. Jesus said we wouldn't know the chronology. He also said that we wouldn't know the seasons, kairos. By the way, did any of you notice how we went from like 87 degrees in summer, and we plunged into the depths of the late part of fall, even though it's still early fall. It's like, this year, what day was the end of summer? Does anybody know? September 23 this year was when the equinox took place, and that's when, based on equal hours of day and night, that's considered the end of summer. So September 23, and it was almost 2 weeks before it dropped below 80. It was actually more than 2 weeks before it dropped below 70 for a high. It was summertime, and now it's not. Sorry. I like fall, by the way. I know some people are like, yeah, you're going to take your fall. But I like fall. We lit our fireplace yesterday. Yeah. It's a remote control, by the way. So it wasn't hard to do. And, you know, I like sitting and reading on a rainy day next to the fire. It's just something about that. I can focus more. If it's a sunny day, I want to go outside. I want to go do something. Yeah. Seasons, honestly, are less about precise chronology and more about gradual changes that we experience. And generally, there's a gradualness to the season change. So we might still have another, you know, couple of days of warm-up. Who knows? Or maybe we already had, what do they call it, Indian summer? Maybe we've already had all we're going to get of that. I don't know. I just know that, you know, generally it gradually changes and then it gradually changes again. And we have the four seasons and it's wonderful. I like the seasons. I know a lot of people would prefer to live in Florida or Southern California or someplace else where there's no seasonal change hardly at all. But I like the leaves even falling. I'm not a big fan of having to rake them, but I like them falling. So what's my point? Well, my point is Jesus' last point, the last point that he shared with them. Well, next to last because he said the Holy Spirit. That stuff, that seasonal stuff, that chronology of how it's all going to happen, that's not where our focus is. Should be. That's not where we should be watching. And Jesus gave us some direction right there about what we should be watching. He said, you will be witnesses, getting our witness going. And then he gave us four places. I share this fairly often because we all just need these things in our mind. Jerusalem. That's right where we are. That's right where we started. That's right where that's the center of everything where we live. We go out from Jerusalem. We go out to Jerusalem. We reach our family. We reach the people who are closest to us. That needs to be a big deal to us. And then Judea. Maybe Judea for me is defiance. You know, I got close friends and family here in Defiance, but I got other people who are kind of maybe like friends. There are still a whole lot of people, forgive me if you're watching this and you remember this, there are still a whole lot of people who know who I am and they'll come up and talk to me and call me by name and everything else. And they know me not because they know me, they know me because my son's name was Joshua and we brought him into the state championship football team and he helped and they loved it. And so we went to the first football game and everybody knew who we were and we didn't know who anybody was. And it didn't matter that we had, you know, 10 weeks of football, 14 weeks of football counting the playoffs. And I still didn't figure everybody out. But they all knew who I was. They'd known each other for years, so they only had to figure out the name of one family. We didn't know any of those people. And I still smile and nod. Sometimes I remember names and sometimes I'm like, well, that's my Judea, though. Those are people who are connected to me. They live in my town. They have a lot of the same experiences that I do. And then Samaria. Do you know there are parts of Defiance that are Samaria? There are some areas that are Samaria. There are parts of town where people live who don't live at all like me. don't have much in common with me. And yet, he's telling me I'm supposed to be a witness to them. If I never go where they are, I may never have an opportunity to be a witness to them. Just a thought. And then, the uttermost parts of the earth, the ends of the earth. There's just nowhere that's off limits or out of bounds. So if you're traveling and you're on vacation, you might run into someone who needs a witness, who needs someone who's doing his father's work and being the servant that his father called him to be, that her father called her to be. And it's a big deal. So let me pose a couple of practical questions as I wind this up here, based on what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and Matthew 24. Which is more important? Taking time to figure out possible end time scenarios, or taking time to go vote to protect our children from an amendment that isn't good for anybody? They just don't know it. I got time to read a book and study and blah, blah, blah. And the book's going to be wrong, by the way, because every one of them's been wrong. What? Yeah. You find me a book, I'll find you something that they said that didn't happen the way they said it's going to happen. Every book has some little thing in it where they can't resist. Some of them have learned now. They've stopped naming the day and the hour. Thank goodness. They just named the day. No, they've stopped naming the day, but this is going to, you know, how many of you remember in, what was it, 2012, we had the Mayan calendar being tied in with the Jesus returning thing, and yeah. Oopsie. Here's another one. Which is more important? Watching another end time movie that will be wrong? Or working to be a blessing to those around you and being a representative of Jesus, representing him everywhere you go? And if you need to read books to help you do that, read those books. Read this book called the Bible. It's amazing. And by the way, I'm really enjoying it. I'm about to go back through the book of Acts. I finished it today in the shower. And I'm going to start right back on it. I just feel like God's been telling me to get through the book of Acts. I saw a couple things in there that I needed to see for me. And he said, yep, you're not done yet. Go back to the beginning. You can download an app. You've never lived in such an amazing time when you can find messages preached by great preachers or even by me. And you can do whatever you want to get filled with the Word of God. And there's an app online that you can get that'll read the Bible to you. In several versions, by the way. I was listening this morning to the ESV. It's good. It's good. We don't get points with God. Go back to a message that I preached back on back in the game Sunday. We don't get points with God for having good eschatology. But woe to us if when he comes, we are not doing what he called us to do. That's a big deal. So I'm not going to tell you to never speculate. Have fun with the speculation if you want to, but stay focused. Don't get so stuck on the speculation that you miss the person right there where you're at. Right there in the hallway where you're walking down through a building, right there where you work, that's beside you every day. I'm not trying to give anybody a hard time, but I'll be honest with you, if I had a chance to talk to some of those people who have written books, I'd love for them to speculate with me whether or not I'm correct. I'd like to see their response to what I've said this morning. And there isn't anybody in this room who was more hammered than I was as a young man with the whole end time thing. I haven't given up. He's coming. He's coming. Could this be the time? Could be. He's coming. He's coming. And I'm going. I'm going out there to reach as many people as I can. I've said this before, but I got this picture in my mind of a few people. The trumpet will sound. They'll be walking down the street with their Bible, and the trumpet will sound, and they'll go, "What? Wait a minute." Shh, they're going up through. "No, no, no, no. You can't do this now. No. This doesn't fit my end time scenario." And that's exactly what he said he would do at a time they did not expect. Yeah. By the way, don't stop praying for Israel. And add in prayers for Palestine. There are some rotten people doing rotten things right now. And by the way, rotten people aren't only on one side of the issue. There are Christians on both sides of the border that need our prayers. And there are lost souls that Jesus wants to save on both sides of the border. So we need to have a heart of prayer toward what's going on. And then prayer for our loved ones that we know aren't yet ready, and then a desire to help lead them into the presence of the living God, to get filled with the Holy Spirit, and to join us in becoming witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of Defiance County or wherever. Stand up. I'm going to pray for you today. In light of what I've just said, I feel like I just need to pray and let you go. But if you need touching your body, you need healing, get me or someone to pray for you. Don't walk out of here without getting it done. I've been prayed for 100 times already. Okay, I'd love to be 101. Somebody needs to be praying for you if you need a touch in your body. And if you haven't yet put out a sign, if there's only three left back there, if those three disappear, I won't be a bit upset. If they don't disappear, I'll probably put them out in the front lawn here at the church. Just get as much whatever we can get so people will have an idea. And maybe we'll encourage enough. Pray for what's coming. Whatever happens, I'm going to keep my eye on what Jesus told me to keep my eyes on. So, Father, bless your people today. May we, Lord, watch what you've given us to watch. May we not look at our watch and tap our foot hoping that something will happen, but may we watch over those who you have assigned us to speak into their lives. May we watch over those around us who need to know you. May we have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness that will bring people to you so they can know how much you love them and all that you want to do for them. And Lord, we just believe that you will show us what you want us to focus on. And that, Lord, when we're doing that, no matter what happens, even if I don't finish this prayer, Lord, and you come, I'll know I was doing what you wanted me to do. And I want that to be the peace that rests in each of our hearts as we go through every day this week, every day the rest of this year, and every day the rest of our lives. And this I pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.